fascinating about them, even though they're called commandments. The commandments, because they're not arbitrary. They're not, you know, oh, okay, I'll follow it on Tuesday, but on Wednesday. This is permanently. But God kind of highlights in 22 of Exodus, he says, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, from the place of your slavery. He kicks off explaining the commandments by stating, I'm the person who did this for you. So in fact, although the commandments and the world knows them as commandments, and there's good reasons for that, it's better in a believer's mind to kind of go, there are 10 responses. Because I loved you and cared for you, you will respond in this way. Because you acknowledge what I have already done, you will respond in this way. It stops being, oh, they're telling me what to do, because, oh, grumble. Not that I expect anyone here to be wanting to go out and murder people and all these sorts of things, but, you know, we can be all guilty of coveting something. As I say to Scott recently, I covet his 3D printer. But you've all got to kind of go, if I'm told not to do something because that was it, you very quickly break these things. But if you respond, and you respond because you have an understanding of the love which has been shown for you, then it gives a whole different tack to what God's trying to get across. In Luke 17:11-19, records this. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria, entered a village where 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God! He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking for what he had done. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Jesus said to the man, stand up and go, your faith has healed you. I would argue 10 people were cured that day, but only one of them was healed. 10 people physically got their bodies working back again, but only one of that 10 actually has responded correctly, so his life was healed and moved forward. Because he responded to the love which was shown him. And it's this love that John keeps talking about. And so we come to look at this particular part of the passage here, and really, it can be Peter's denial. Know the 10, but then God through Moses gives more explicit variations on how to live and how to work. And they break them all down, various other things. But basically, we understand this in 10. And Jesus actually narrows it down and says everything they want to. But then he specifically says, I'm going to give you the 11th commandment. That is incredible. Moses went up a hill. love is used only 12 times in John 1 to 12. But in John 13 to 21, it's used 44 times.
Do you think John's recording a message through the Holy Spirit from Jesus that he wants us to get? First of all, I want you to get this. Jesus once again declares himself.
Is simple enough for a toddler to memorize and appreciate, profound enough that the most mature believers are repeatedly embarrassed at how poorly they comprehend it and put it into practice. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Get this. He gives this 11th commandment after he's just demonstrated what love is, the foot washing and care for the enemy who he knows is not. This particular case, I'm talking about us as believers in Jesus Christ. It is specific to those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Often we've heard of this orthodoxy. One hopes we all have an orthodox viewpoint of who Jesus is, an orthodox viewpoint of God. You may not be as familiar with what we call orthopraxy. Orthopraxy means how you act. Orthodoxy must conform to orthopraxy. What you believe must conform to how you act. But your orthopraxy, better match up with your orthodoxy. How you act has to conform to what you believe. Because there's no point saying I believe this but doing that. James looks so dolly, but I'll look at that. Our actions need to match our stated belief. So look at this. We'll look at the Old Testament, what they knew as their scriptures, about how Jewish people were meant to interact with other Jewish people. In Exodus 22, it says, if you lend money to any of my people who are in need, do not charge interest as a moneylender would. So if you're non-Jewish, I can lend you money and you've got to pay me interest. But if you're a believer, if you're another Jewish person, I can't. Why? Because they're the people of God. I don't charge God. And in the same manner, now believers in Jesus Christ, we must react differently to one another. And don't kind of go, oh, he's saying we shouldn't, you know, charge interest. I'm trying to get the idea of justice and what love means, of how you care for another believer, how you view another believer. Exodus 21 says, if you buy a Hebrew slave, he may serve for no more than 6 years. Set him free in the seventh year, and he will owe you nothing for his freedom. I've explained before what slavery means. A very different version to sometimes our memory. But he's saying, you will not put fellow believers into permanent bondage. How, as a landlord, as a Christian landlord, would you treat other Christians who are renting off you? Now, don't get me wrong here. This is not saying we love other people less. It's just saying for fellow believers, there's an even greater thing we need to take care of. I could read Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20, which is all about the illustration that is used to say, when you become a king, this is what kings should do. They shouldn't build up power, they shouldn't marry lots of people, they shouldn't go and get horses. They should be focusing on the word of God. In fact, what it really is saying is, as a leader, you're held to a higher account. There's godly leadership, and there's definitions for godly leadership, because I want leaders of my people leading my people in godly manner. Which is why Leviticus 19 says, do not cut your bodies for the dead, and do not mark your skin with tattoos. I am the Lord. Now, he said don't put tattoos around, because at the time, every other nation around the place tattooed their body as a methodology of saying the same worship about God. So God said to his people, you will be different. Culturally, that's what everybody else does. You're going to look completely strange, because you're going to have non-tattooed bodies. And everyone will know. Do you believe in that body, Yahweh? Yes. How do you know? No tattoos on my body. It, at the time, was a very specific thing to say you're different. God says, your bodies will be different. We're in a time of very fluid sexual behavior. God says your bodies will be different. You will be different. In God's economy, we are the bearers of justice to the world, but the justice needs to be demonstrated between believers first. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says, when one of you has a dispute with another believer, dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even the little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. Love equates to justice. More than that, love equates to peace. And I want to explain something. I'll go back over it in other sermons. There's a big difference between kindness and goodness. Kindness is accepted by everybody because it costs them nothing. If I want to be kind to you, I want to give you something. Thanks. Kindness asks nothing of the person being blessed. That's what gives them. That's great. We should all be kind. We should be showing the kingdom. Goodness causes us to have to respond. Kindness heals 10 lepers. Goodness calls one of them. Kindness says this is what the kingdom of God is. Goodness says you're willing to step in and get involved. And so what goodness does is it says we're going to be accountable. There are so many things that happen in this world which I see and I disagree with. But you know, it's not my responsibility to change it. It's not my responsibility to go monitor the public behavior of every person around. Can't do it, shouldn't do it. There's times you'll need to step in, sure. But most of the time, people are on their own. They decide
see all these American troops streaming away, and easy companies basically leaving something. One of these troops turns around and says, "What are you doing? You're going to be surrounded by the enemy." The guy says, "Well, we're paratroopers. We're meant to be surrounded by the enemy. That's what we're called to do." And so they hang out. And during the whole fight, counter-offensive comes, knocks easy company all over the place, but they never give. Until eventually, the Allies manage to get themselves back together, counter-attack for counter-attack, and break through what's called the Battle of the Bulge, and retake the whole area, and then the whole thing collapses from there, and the Third Reich is no more. There's an interesting tale which basically says, no member of Easy Company ever concedes that they were rescued by the Allied forces. Because even though the Allied forces came in, they said, "We didn't need rescue, we were doing just fine. Because we were holding. We were doing what you told us to do. We held." You ask yourself,